The following is a presentation of the ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Network. It's the Horn High School Spotlight with Craig Way, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of Austin area high school football. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Texas Longhorns, and one of the Lone Star State's most respected figures on Friday Night Lights, Craig Way.
Thursday brings with it the magic of another high school football weekend. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Horn High School Spotlight. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to be with you up till 11 o'clock. And then it'll be midday with Trey and BK, followed by the broadcast with Rod Babers, and then the afternoon show with Chad and Kevin. What we do up until 11 o'clock is discuss all matters pertaining to and of high school football, in specific of the greater Austin and Central Texas area, but also a glance around the state as well. We do that certainly early in the week with the updated rankings, and we talk about it from the statewide perspective with Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. We zero back in on the area, and that includes our conversations we've had with Rick Cantu of the Austin American Statesman this week, and of course our regular Tuesday visit with Hank Carter, the head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers. And then Wednesday with Todd Dodge in studio with us yesterday after we visited with Rob Schoenfeld, the head coach of the Glenn Grizzlies. They have their big game at Eastview. And then, as per custom, here on Thursday, coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll visit with Roger Wallace, not only my broadcast partner on Texas Longhorn, a football broadcast, but also the sports director at KXAN. That's his main job and function. And he will join us to preview the KBVO Big Game of the Week, of course, that they televise every Thursday night, which is LBJ and Crockett. So we'll visit with him coming up in a few minutes. And then, of course, this being Thursday, it's our opportunity to visit with Drew Sanders, the head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. We do that every Thursday on this program. Vandegrift still rolling, 7-0. Are the Vipers as they continue their march through the regular season. Of course, you know, last year, Vandegrift had the unbeaten regular season and was able to get three rounds deep into the playoffs, looking to go higher, farther, faster, as the old test pilot saying goes. And they'll continue to try to do that, will the Vipers, as they play Westwood tomorrow night, in a game that you can hear on 101.9 and AM 1260. Then, of course, we'll have our Whataburger Top 5 this Thursday. Of course, on Monday, we have the Top 5 performances of the just-completed weekend. Tuesday is the Double Meat with Cheese Edition, the Top 10s, as we look at the new state rankings in 1A through 5A. And then that's followed up by the Top 25 in 6A, in the 6A poll. And on Wednesday, it's the top five players to watch this coming week. We did that yesterday. And then today, top five road trips of the week, which by and large involved the teams that get on the bus and they make that little road trip, or it might be a larger road trip, certainly early in the season with non-district play. Those bus rides can be farther to those more far-flung destinations, not so much in district play. But there are some road trips, and we do have a little bit of a different look at it this week, because for the first time this season, we do not have a game that is on our Whataburger Top 5 matchup list for Friday, that we'll do tomorrow, that is on our top five road trips. Not because the road trips are any less important. It's just five road trips that stand alone apart from the top five matchups. So we'll have that coming up as well. So all of that is on the menu for today. But we lead it off with the Thursday night activity going on this evening between LBJ and Crockett. And joining us to talk about it, the sports director at KXAN, and who will call the action for the live telecast on KBVO Channel 51, where you can watch the telecast live. Roger Wallace is with us now. So, you know, Thursdays, and you and I have talked about this, sometimes you get a choice of Thursday games. Sometimes you have no choice. There's one game. And then sometimes you might only have the one game to choose, but it might have been the one you chose anyway, or might be worth choosing, at least with what you've got with LBJ and Crockett. You've got one team that's definitely going to be in the playoffs in LBJ, and one team that still has a pretty decent shot at getting in there in Crockett.
Well, that's right. And, you know, that was a conversation I had with head coach at Crockett, John Wall, because obviously this is going to be a really tough game for his team. They're beat up. They don't have great numbers. But the fact that what they have in front of them does put them in position where it probably comes down to that McCallum game on Halloween if they have a shot at the playoffs. Now, he said the loss to Northeast early prep was a really tough one. They lost 26-14. That was a game that, you know, if they win that, they're probably in pretty good position to get that fourth spot in 12-5A Division I. But tonight's going to be difficult, and he's the first one to admit that it's going to be that way. But he's reminded his players that, yeah, win, lose, or draw tonight, there's still opportunities out there for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you start, I guess, looking at the head-to-head thing, because he would probably, knowing Coach Wall, he would probably say, you know, he's not a guy like most coaches who does not like the control being taken out of his hands, and a loss tonight would definitely take the control out of his hands, but they can put it back in with the head-to-head win over McCallum, even though tie breaks ultimately might factor into it. They'd still have the opportunity with a head-to-head. So, I mean, that's an important thing if they can do that, if they can get past that. How about you mentioned the fact that his team is banged up. It's a common theme that we echo and that we discuss with regard to, in specific, AISD schools. Not exclusively. I remember you were talking about it last week with what Chip Killian was having to deal with Hendrickson, and several other programs have had teams. Connolly, I know, has had to deal with the injury bug as well. But it really does kind of zero in on the AISD schools, perhaps more acutely, simply because of the total numbers in the program, even prior to the injuries hitting them.
Well, you know, he said something interesting to Keith and me, because they did at one point this year have a pretty solid two deep and not a lot of guys playing both sides. That has changed. And he brought up the point that it's not playing both sides that's difficult. It's adjusting to playing both sides when you're not used to it. If you're going through an entire season and you're week 7 or week 8 and your guys are used to it, it's difficult, no doubt. But to suddenly have to have a bunch of guys playing offense and defense in week 5, he said that really is where you get affected more, because they just don't have, you know, kind of that game stamina that maybe teams that don't have the numbers, they have to play both sides, but at least they're used to it. So that was one of his points. And you know, LBJ's banged up too. I mean, one of the most coveted players in Central Texas was lost for the year early on. Latrell McCutcheon, their leading rusher, got injured, so they're beat up too. One of their top offensive linemen, but yeah, for Crockett, it's a little more glaring because of the total number game.
Talking high school football, obviously, and in specific, LBJ and Crockett, their matchup tonight at Burger Stadium here with Roger Wallace, who will call the action here on KBVO. Okay, let me get your thoughts a little bit on the LBJ side of things, because that was a very difficult loss for them to have to overcome, the one to Dripping Springs, where it looked like they might get out of it with the victory. And then Drip gets the late touchdown pass in the final seconds to win him. How about the mindset of Jamal Finner's ball club?
Yeah, that was, as you mentioned, I mean, they cruised to their first two district wins, not allowing a point. And then they obviously knew this was going to be one, along with Seguin. You know, those three are probably going to be fighting for the district title. So he said that was difficult to lose, and now they have to bounce back and you know, recover. But certainly that was a tough one to swallow when you start talking about seeding and things like that. That one might come back to haunt them in the playoffs. But I mentioned, you know, Sean Fresh is an outstanding two-way guy, the corner and running back. But the Daquan Donaldson loss, was averaging about 7 yards a carry and had 7 touchdowns, has really, really hurt them as well. But Yeah, he, you know, they get back to work and put their head down, but that one was a tough one to swallow.
Well, and that you mentioned Daquan Donaldson going out, LaTrell McCutcheon earlier in the season, and LBJ, if memory serves, certainly when the late Andrew Jackson was the coach, and even really into this time that Jamal Fenner has been the head coach, has had better numbers in its program than, say, perhaps some of the other AISD programs. So they've been able to withstand some of that, but you could even only withstand so much. I mean, a guy like McCutcheon and Donaldson, can't replace those guys, really, because that's really difficult with those guys being the playmakers that they have been.
Well, to illustrate it, Craig, is when we talked to Jamal about a two deep, he said, "I'll give you the starters." and that was it. And we said, "Okay, how about some other guys to, you know, especially skill guys that we might see touch the ball?" And he named two more guys that, you know, maybe. Now, what happens a lot of times, and we've seen this in our games, is all of a sudden we'll see a defensive player go over and play some wide receiver, some running back that maybe we're not expecting, but things that they work on in practice. But Andrew Makuba has been a really productive player for them, and he plays both wide receiver and corner, and he's got several offers. But you're right. Their numbers are not typical. And up front where and Keith always brings this up, and sometimes we tend to forget, LBJ always has good lines, both offense and defense. They've got dudes on both sides of the ball up front, and those numbers are down as well this year.
In terms of, we were discussing about 12-5A Division One, and obviously Dripping Springs is in the driver's seat. They've got the big game coming up, you know, that'll be next week when they take on Seguin. That's a huge win, and spoiler alert, this is going to wind up being on the road trip thing. McCallum is playing at Seguin this week, but Coach Gammerdinger's ball club looks like they're starting to kind of round into shape a little bit. They're 1-2 in the district. They're 2-4 overall. They really suffered a lot of injuries and difficulties early on, but it looks like maybe they are rounding into shape, whereas that Halloween matchup with Crockett could be definitely to see if they could get a shot to get into the number four position.
Well, as you and I have talked about, when you lose your quarterback in the first quarter, then so much goes through, and there's certainly an adjustment process. And then, you know, you open district with LBJ, and they – you know, kind of got shell-shocked there, but then played Dripping Springs quite a bit tougher. And, I mean, you know, let's be honest with this district. It's top-heavy. And so if you can kind of survive those games with some of the teams that maybe you don't expect to make a run, and that's where that loss for Crockett against Northeast was, you know, kind of crippling. And this is where, you know, obviously McCallum can't afford to slip up. Now, obviously, tomorrow night's going to be difficult, but then they get Northeast this week. And then, you know, leading up to that Crockett game on Halloween night, and then they close with Travis. So I would say I think it's going to come down, don't you think, to that Crockett game?
Got to be. I have to think it does. Let me get your thoughts on some of the other games in the area. The one certainly that's going to be at the top of a lot of folks' list, and with good reason, Huddlewood Cedar Park in 11-5-8. Here's Maynard, by the way. Oh, by the way, they're 2-0 in the district, and Conley's kind of come to life with their win over Pflugerville, and they go to Maynard, but I guess all eyes are going to be focused on Gupton on tomorrow night.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Conley, because we had him a couple weeks ago in Hutto. And they played them tough.
Mm-hmm.
They had some special teams issues in the second half that really cost them. And you know, they could get that fourth spot. But yeah, we're locked in on that's going to be one of our feature games tomorrow up at Gupton. And looks like that defense at Cedar Park is back. They're giving up about 15 points per game, but they're scoring a lot too. And you know, Hutto has had some tough games, even though they've stayed undefeated. So we're looking at that one. And then the one at just down the road at Kelly Reeves is one of our marquee games tomorrow too, to see if Stoney can stay undefeated heading into their showdown with Vandegrift.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. The one other thing I want to jump in, keep it in 5A. I wanted to jump to 13-5A Division II, because and maybe this is a little preview of perhaps what might be in store for you guys next week, but Weiss has a big game at Cedar Creek tonight ahead of that gigantic, what is developing into what could be a gigantic Thursday night showdown with Eastview next Thursday night, and Eastview's playing Glenn at home. That's a big game out of that, and Elgin's 1-2 in the district, and they have to go to Brenham, and Brenham's, I mean, things look like they always seem to look in 13-5A D2.
Well, they do, and as you said, yeah, we're gonna go back to the field next week, and that was one that we kind of made a late decision on, trying to get the best matchups. And regardless of what happens this weekend with those two teams, Eastview and Weiss, that's still going to have a lot of ramifications next Thursday night. So I'm looking forward. We've never had Eastview on Thursday Night Football, so looking forward to that. We saw Weiss earlier in the year. But, yeah, that one, that district is going to be fun to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, and that could be that could be that whole district right down to the wire. Okay, now let me go back to 6A, and you mentioned it, Round Rock against Stony Point, and I think we've all kind of, you know, expected what we have seen from Round Rock this year, especially with the offense being as explosive as it's been. Stony, I know, has surprised a lot of folks. Kendall Thomas has just been incredible. In fact, we have the Ford player watch list on the show on Fox, and I insisted that they add him to that list because the young man's averaging 245 yards per game on the ground. He's only been under 200 yards rushing in a contest once this season, so I think he's going to be one of the featured ones tomorrow night, win or lose, no matter what happens against Round Rock. But that's a gigantic game that has a lot of trickle down to it.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at his numbers, 12 yards a carry.
Yeah.
He's going to go well over 2,000 yards. There's going to be a few points scored in that one tomorrow night. Let's just say that Round Rock has been explosive. I think they've had they scored at least 30 in the first half of their last three. And I know the first two district games, they were over 40 by halftime in those district games. So that one might take a while, but I'm fascinated to see. And then we're going to see Round Rock a couple of times at the end of the season against Hendrickson, and then that one to close it out against Vista Ridge that I'm guessing will have some playoff implications. So I'm fascinated to see if Stony can get through Round Rock and stay undefeated for their showdown with Vandegrift.
Yeah, and then not only that, you mentioned you're going to have Round Rock and Vista Ridge in Week 10. Vista may be playing for its postseason lives depending on what happens with their game with Cedar Ridge tomorrow night. That's a huge game that in that district is under the radar simply because of Round Rock and Stony Point. But here is Cedar Ridge hosting Vista Ridge at Dragon Stadium tomorrow night.
That doesn't sit too well with the coaches. But, yeah, that's right. And then Round Rock and Stony Point are both traveling away, you know, further away from their respective high schools to go play over at Kelly Reese. But, yeah, that's a flip game, certainly. If Cedar Ridge gets a win, all of a sudden, you know, Vista's kind of on the outside looking in, and you also have Westwood sitting there at 2-2 as well. If some things fall, you know, that club could maybe get back in the hunt.
All right, tonight it'll be the matchup at 7:30 at 7:30, right? AISD, we're talking 7:30.
Yep.
At Berger Stadium between LBJ and Crockett. You can catch it live on KBVO Channel 51 with Roger and Keith. Hey, thanks, Roger. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. Talk to you.
You bet. All right. That's Roger Wallace. And again, LBJ and Crockett tonight on KBVO. All right. Coming up, we'll talk about the Vandegrift Vipers. We'll visit with the head coach of the Vipers, Drew Sanders, when we continue with the Horn High School Spotlight here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Back to the High School Spotlight with Craig Way, presented by the ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Network.
We soldier on this Thursday, getting ready for the weekend of matchups. That includes the Vandegrift Vipers back at Monroe Stadium to take on the Westwood Warriors tomorrow night in 13-6A competition. Always pleased to have the head coach of the Vipers, Drew Sanders, join us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. I haven't brought this up much, and I remember some things you said about it last year as it was developing. You said that you and the coaches really don't mention much about that 10-0 regular season business, and yet your guys did it last year, and here you are at 7-0. Do you hear your guys bring it up? Is it now becoming a point of pride, Drew, where they're saying, "Hey, let's do this thing again," even though you got three to go?
No. I think we kind of treat it the same as last year, where we really, number one, try to focus on that week's opponent. And number two, they are talking, I think they're talking a little bit more about the district title this year than last year, because, you know, last year we had never won an outright district title, so it had never been done. I think This year, this team knows that we've done that before, so they're kind of actually mentioning that and going, "Hey, you know, let's see if we can do this again." Obviously, that's easier said than done, but they are mentioning that a little bit. I hear them talking about it, but you know, for the most part, I think this group has shown their maturity and tried to take it week by week and you know, done a good job of that.
That really and truly, isn't it, a sign of maturity when there's not a lot of projecting ahead? And by that I mean, folks on the outside, on the periphery, and media people are part of it as well, and look ahead and they see what's down there down the road. A lot of folks are looking at week 10 and saying, well, you know, if Stony Point beats Round Rock, that could be 2-9-0s. How sexy will that be? And that'll be all kinds of statewide attention and yada yada yada. But you're saying your guys are pretty good on the here and now and just looking at Westwood.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You know, and Westwood has really just a couple of plays away. Coach does such a good job with that program. He's a couple of plays away from honestly being 5-1. They beat a very good Hendrickson team, which is a very nice win for those guys. And then Vista Ridge, I mean, I think it was 49-43 or 48-43.
Right.
I mean, just right down to the last second. So they are a quality team and coached well, and they will definitely give us all we can handle, I guarantee, on Friday night.
It seems like every week, and I've gotten to where I really look forward to this, and that's asking you about a different, not even mentioned to this point in the season, other than when you've mentioned your guys collectively, and you'll mention a name here and a name there, but I haven't specifically asked you about, and we've gone on almost every week, I ask you about a different guy on your defense, and I'm going to go to your senior linebacker, Zach Gilchrist, because we haven't really talked about him, and I know he had a huge game for you last week with 12 tackles, he had 5 assists there in the win. We haven't really talked about Zach that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Zach is, first of all, just a great young man, and he was a backup for, you know, our All-State linebacker last year, Spencer Jones. And, you know, he is a guy that wasn't gifted with a lot of height. And so I think he kind of goes, no pun intended, under the radar. But, you know, I think when you see a guy like Spencer, who was last year 6'2", and he's playing in Army now, and he's, you know, probably 220, everybody's like, whoa, who is that guy? And you don't really have that impression when you see Zach, but one thing that he does is he always hustles. And that's one thing that, you know, as we grade every play, some of the fans may not know, but we have really every coach has some kind of grading system, and they'll give him a score after the game. Did he do his job this play? And they grade all, let's say, 70 plays. And they come back and we tell them the score, what was the production, what did he do. And he's going to consistently have good scores. He does his job well. But the number one thing that we won't ever knock Zach for is he just refuses to loaf, what we call loaf, which is you are jogging on the backside of a play. And he just doesn't do that. He gives great effort, and that effort covers up a multitude of sins, is one of our things we say over and over again. And if we just give great effort, and that's what he does, he kind of lives by that. And so I'm really proud of Zach and his development as a senior. You know, he wasn't a starter till a senior year, and we kind of thrive on those guys here at Vandegrift, where guys stay in the program, they develop, and there's several other guys like that that are starting right now for us.
Yeah, hey, I like the fact that you've incorporated that phrase about the efforts covering up a multitude of sins. I first heard that with ascribed to basketball, where I heard a coach say, good shooting covers up a multitude of sins. But I guess it really does apply also in just about every sport, and effort is always a prerequisite in football, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if one of the things that I think that I hope that we're known for is, if you put on our tape, you'll see guys, receivers blocking free safeties and coming across the field, and you won't see a receiver, if he's not getting the ball, just stand there. You know, that wears me out if that happens. And then the same thing on defense. The backside corner, 100% of the time, takes a touchdown-saving angle if the play's on the opposite side of the field. And he's sprinting, not jogging, not three-quarter speed running, but sprinting. And we really pride ourselves on that. And we try to build that through our culture of playing good defense. But in the spring, you know, we have so many different pursuit drills and all the different things we do that, you know, the guys just kind of get it ingrained into them.
Yeah, and that becomes a pride thing amongst the players, doesn't it? And that's that old thing you and I have talked about the best teams are player-led teams in terms of the leadership, and not having to always look to the coaching staff to be emotionally motivated and pushed.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. And not only looking to, but when we do have to, because I will do this every once in a while, you know, call one of our you know, supposed great players out. Everybody says, well, this guy's a great player, but they never can be above getting called out and getting coached on effort, on whatever. And I think that's the number one thing that I took away from playing at Hardin-Simmons when I played. And I had never really been called out on backside effort as a high school player. And I had great coaches. But, you know, I had never been called out like that at Hardin-Simmons. Like, you're jogging on the backside play. I didn't realize I was doing it. I thought I was just doing my part. And ever since that conversation with my college defensive coordinator, I made it an effort to be sprinting backside. And you know, he changed the way I viewed defense. And we've taken that same philosophy everywhere, really everywhere I've coached defense, from when I was a middle school coach to now, I guess, 22 years in.
Have you found over your time of coaching, Drew, that in a lot of cases, that's just it's just something that's an unawareness, like you just pointed out there, mm-hmm. Some guys, yeah. they think they're doing all that because they're trying to remember all their assignments and be where they're supposed to be and hustle, and then something that they're not centrally involved in, yet they don't realize others observe if they're not going that max effort on the backside of a play like that. And then it just requires a little bit of education and for them to get it into their muscle memory and repetition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'd say most players, and this is, I've coached all different kinds of kiddos over the years, but I'd say a very large percentage of players just want to be told what they're doing wrong and will be coachable and try to fix it. Now, there's the few small percentage that every once in a while will be like, well, I thought I was doing this, and you're not. You know, you need to listen to me and try to do what I'm asking you to do. But the majority are going to do everything their coaches ask them to, or try to. And so that's why we as coaches can't be afraid to call out when we see it and correct it and get them to the standard that we kind of envision for our program.
And I would imagine also, Drew, because with what you have and the totality of your program, and I've heard you mention, I've heard other coaches mention as well, the success level for a high school football program, sustained success level like you have year in, year out, really begins down at the middle school level. It starts with those kids having open minds, the coaching staffs from that, and your guys, your middle school coaches, all being on the same page with what you want out of your varsity coaches so that they can take that message to where it gets into the impressionable young minds of kids that are 13 and 14 years old before they even wind up on your campus.
Yeah, and somebody was asking me that the other day, is like, you know, how are your freshman teams and JV teams so good too? And I just said, you know, I pointed right back to our middle school coaches. They come to us very prepared, and they already have a base knowledge. And if you look at teams that have a hard time sustaining success, you will see some teams that don't have great middle school feeder patterns, or maybe they have one good school but not another one, or maybe the middle school coaches and the high school coaches aren't all on the same page. And so I can't compliment my staff at Canyon Ridge and Four Points enough. I mean, they try so hard to do what we ask them to do. And then it also goes two ways. Like, I need to support them. So we go to every game that they have. We'll have at least one to two staff members at every single home middle school game. So every Tuesday night we're there. We also have all of our players there. We'll have five to six players at every home game interacting with the kids and trying to build this culture, like kids get excited about being a Viper football player. And then, you know, that has totally helped us, I think, as we have retention, we have great numbers because kids are also comfortable with us. And that's the one thing that they want, is to know when I'm going to high school, kind of unusual, I'm not sure what's happening. I know one thing, I know the coach. And I know all the coaches around me. I'm for sure playing Viper football, you know, and that's helped us a ton.
Would it be safe to say, Drew, that your mindset, yours individually, became more prepared for that kind of challenge from your days at Travis, when, to be quite honest and quite frank about it, I remember the AISD coaches telling me that it was a real challenge, A, the numbers, B, not being 100% certain if all the kids that were at a certain middle school that you thought were feeding into your campus might be split to another campus and you might not get all or even most of the kids out of a given program.
Yeah, and that's really hard. And we could talk about this for probably 30 minutes straight, just this one topic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is hard when you go into your middle school and the kids you're supposed to be getting say, "Well, I'm going to go somewhere else legally," and they're legally transferring because it's more of a liberal transfer policy. They legally are transferring to another school. And I remember how I first went into Fulmer Middle School and trying to recruit my guys, and how hard that was to get them to see, like, "Hey, we could build something special here at Travis." And I did my best recruiting job on my guys that I was supposed to have. I was only, of course, talking to the guys that were my guys. But it was, you know, it's hard. And then sometimes the middle school coaches weren't running our stuff. We asked them to, but we couldn't really say, "Hey, this is the assignment." And so sometimes instead of running, we ran a lot of I and under center stuff back then. You know, they're running the wing T, and yeah, there are some concepts that are the same, but now they're not learning our play names, our formation names. And so we started all over every single year with our freshmen. So our freshmen, eventually, by the time they got varsity, they were prepared, but our freshman success was just so low because we just weren't prepared.
Talking Vandegrift football with the head coach of the Vipers, Drew Sanders, here on the Horn High School Spotlight. Drew, you get ready for Westwood, and you talked about how close Coach Wood has had his teams in ball games. When you also prepare, and we've seen it on a more prolific level at the high school level, but when you see those really high-paced, up-tempo, spread the field, lots of passing with a threat like an R.J. Martinez at quarterback there. Does it accelerate what you're doing in practice with your guys to make sure they're in the proper mindset for what they're going to deal with in real time on the field on Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and tempo is such a big part of a lot of people's game plan these days, and their tempo doesn't start usually until after the first down play. And so our rule is to let's not let them get a first down, you know. But they do a great job of handling that. Other people go fast too. Round Rock goes super duper fast. And back when I played Lake Travis, they might be the fastest I've ever gone against when they were in their heyday. And they're still obviously very good, but I'm talking about in the middle of winning those 5 state titles. So they were super fast. So I have learned throughout the years how to practice super fast. One of the best things we do is we make wristbands for our offense. And so each play is diagrammed on the wristband because, you know, we have scout teams and we call them attack teams. And so they come up and we will be yelling out the play number. There's all number. There are 18 plays on the wristbands and yelling out the hash, and they are screaming. It actually is impossible to go faster than our attack squads go. And so we always handle tempo well, or at least have in the past, because I think strictly because of our wristband idea during practice.
Okay, now I got to ask you this before I let you go. When we had you on the television show a couple of weeks back, we were talking to you about Mahia, your alma mater, and they had the big reunion of the 89 state championship team. Hey, they're in, and you probably know this, one of the most competitively balanced 4A districts in the entire state of Texas, with Fairfield and Salado and Lorena and Robinson and Madisonville. And tomorrow night, they're at home, but they have the number 6 team in the state, Conley, who's perfect. So do you keep kind of at least on the periphery dialed in once you come off the mm-hmm. field and you get your guys to say, "Hey, how'd my alma mater do tonight?"
Oh, yeah. I'm always checking in on the Black Cats. And now my parents live in Fairfield now, so I also will cheer for the Eagles, too, and that would really hurt a lot of my old Black Cat friends. So I'll cheer for them. But, yeah, I was actually talking to the Fairfield head coach, Coach Bechtel, just this past week. We were talking about Mahia and what they look like. So it's a very interesting perspective. And one other kind of cool thing is I've got probably 8 to 10 old high school friends that we still stay in touch, have a group chat and all that stuff. And I'll have about 8 or 9 old Mahia Black Cats on the sideline this week cheering the Vipers on. So that's kind of cool. They'll all be wearing Viper gear. And so I'm really looking forward to that, too.
That's cool. Yeah, huge game. They host Conley tomorrow night. And, of course, at home are the Vipers taking on Westwood. You can hear it on 101.9 FM and also on AM 1260 with Merle and Hank and Scott and Zach with the call. As always, Drew, appreciate the time. And I know you got an open date next week, but if you want, we'll chat it up next week and talk about coming out of that and what you do during the bye week to get you ready for the stretch drive.
Yeah, that sounds great, Craig.
All right, thanks, Drew. That's Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. They hit their open date, one of the later open dates to hit in the regular season. So they have their – in fact, the ones who have the latest one of all would be, well, then after Vandegrift hits theirs in 13-6A, then Vista Ridge does the following week, and then Leander actually finishes, and it will be finishing their season since they won't be headed to the playoffs, but they will finish their season on November 1st, so they won't even be playing in what would calendar-wise be week 11, but that final week of the regular season. All right, up next, it's our Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips for this coming week when we continue on the Horn High School Spotlight.
Back to the High School Spotlight with Craig Way, presented by the ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Network.
Our thanks again to Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, joining us on the program. Hey, I want to remind you to tune in to the ABC Home and Commercial Services High School Football Radio Network post-game show. You can submit your All-Star Preps All-Centex Player of the Week nominations. You can send us your nomination through the text line. That's at 512-337-3776 or through social media with a hashtag. It's hashtag HornHS. We're taking nominations through the weekend, of course, Monday mornings at 8:30. Bucky and Aaron announced the top four submissions, and the Twitter poll to vote begins. And then on Wednesday mornings at 8:30, Bucky and Aaron will announce the Central All-Centex Player of the Week, brought to you by Thomas J. Henry. You can see more details of that at hornfm.com. Time now for our top five road trips.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 Road Trips.
Now, the normal mode of this Thursday offering is to list crucial road trips for schools. Now, sometimes this includes games that also wind up on our other list. The Friday list, that's our Whataburger Top 5 matchups of the week. But now, with 4 weeks remaining in the regular season, the crucial nature of the road really hits home. As such, we have, for the first time this season, 5 road trips for schools with definite needs for a win that are completely separate from the top 5 matchups, which, by the way, in no way diminishes the importance of these road contests for these 5 schools. It's just, it becomes perhaps even more acute for the ones on the road. And then we have our 5 matchup segment coming in tomorrow. But right now, we bring you this week's Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips of this week. Number 5 is McCallum at Seguin. Now, it's been a difficult season so far for Coach Gammerdinger's ball club. Losing your starting quarterback in your season opener can set things on a difficult path, and McCallum's had its share of struggles in the first half of the season. But the Knights have already faced what are generally regarded as the 2 best teams in the district in Dripping Springs and LBJ. And after tomorrow's game, down astride the Guadalupe River against what is generally regarded as another playoff-bound team in Seguin, it may be downhill sledding toward the postseason. Sure, the matchup with Crockett on Halloween night may well be for that final playoff spot in an AISD heavy 12-5A Division I, but the Knights can measure themselves a little more and draw closer to that contest with Crockett with some positives if it's a good showing down in Seguin tomorrow night. Number 4 is Connolly at Manor. Now, with all deference to tomorrow's showdown at Gupton Stadium between Hutto and Cedar Park, spoiler alert here, that one is one of our Whataburger top 5 matchups, but there's another important contest in 11-5A Division 1. You might not have thought about it being that way as recently as a couple of weeks ago, but Connolly, despite not winning a game in the first half of the season, might actually be rounding into shape. You heard Roger Wallace talk about him as well. In fact, the Cougars began the season 0-6. However, they were very competitive in a loss to Hutto 3 weeks ago, and after being blown out by Cedar Park 2 weeks ago, bounced back last week to knock off rival Pflugerville and pick up their first win of the season. More importantly, a win that puts the Cougars at 1-2 in district play. Now comes a road trip to the third team other than Cedar Park and Hutto to begin district play without a loss. That's Manor. The Mustangs, while 2-0 in 11-5 AD1, have been pushed a bit at times. And while the game at Georgetown on the final Friday night of the regular season looms even larger for Connolly, a chance to continue the upward trend exists for the Cougars at Manor tomorrow night. Number 3 is Bandera at Wimberley. Now, Bandera is perhaps the 1-6-0 team that's still a mystery. Are the Bulldogs for real? It's hard to tell from the games they've played so far, yet there they are, unbeaten. get to find out more from here on out, beginning tomorrow night in Hays County. Wimberley has one loss. That one loss was to Regents, but the Texans look like they've hit their stride. And in a district that contains an undefeated state-ranked team in Aronimo Navarro, an improved Llano, and a struggling defending state champion in Cuero, Bandera will try to state its own case at Wimberley. Number two is Liberty Hill at Lampasas, another Hill Country-based 4A district where a state power is struggling. The Panthers had a very shallow cupboard staring them in the face following the run of the 4A Division I state title game a season ago. And Jeff Walker's team's coming off an eyebrow-raising district opening home loss to Fredericksburg. Lampasas is on top of the district. They're state ranked, and they're boasting one of the best all-around athletes in Ace Whitehead. If Liberty Hill is to stay away from drifting toward the postseason bubble, the Panthers could use a road win at the home of the Battling Badgers. And the number two matchup is Liberty Hills. I mentioned the number three being Bandera Wimberley. And now those two 4As, being as big as they are, lead us now to our number one road trip of the week. And that's a 5A matchup. It's Weiss at Cedar Creek. 1 year ago, we were all marveling at the amazing first year of varsity play for the Glen Grizzlies, who won a share of the district title in the crazy mixed-up world of 13-5A Division II. Another spoiler alert, Glen has its own tough road assignment at Eastview tomorrow night, which will be one of our top five matchups on tomorrow's program. However, this year's huge story is taking place at Weiss, where the Wolves, who swallowed the tough medicine of playing without a senior class in its first season of varsity competition last year and went 0-10, now are reaping the benefits of the patience Tommy Altman and his staff employed with the Baby Wolves a year ago, and they now have seniors leading the way in a 5-1 start, 3-0 in 13-5 AD2 competition. Will it travel? Well, it did earlier with a road win at Bastrop. Now the Wolves go back to the scene of the crime, Bastrop Memorial Stadium, to take on the other school from that district, Cedar Creek, which, despite smarting from being shut out by Glen last week, is nevertheless improved. Weiss has what is shaping up to be a gigantic, headline-grabbing game with Eastview next Thursday night at the field in Pflugerville. But if their minds are set on the task at hand, they'll handle their business at Cedar Creek before turning their attention to the Patriots. Otherwise, 13-5A Division II will simply continue to live up to its reputation as one of the most unpredictable in Texas for a second straight season. So there's your Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips of the Week. Thanks again to Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, joining us. Roger Wallace, he'll have the call on KBVO for LBJ and Crockett. We invite you to stay tuned because coming up will be Middays with Trey and BK. Now, tomorrow, it'll be, as always, on Friday, Kip McConnell go in with Steve Foster. So Kip will be in for the program tomorrow. We will have our top five matchups of the week segment as well. For all of us, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us here on the Horn High School Spotlight.